Hi everyone, I am home again, which is really, really nice. I got home from the US yesterday morning my time, so in fact I got back to my home, at least my home city, about 24 hours ago, which was quite nice, after a lovely long, I think about 16-hour flight from Dallas to Sydney, which is one of the longest flights in the world, actually. So got a bit of rest, lots of movies, writing lots of blog stuff I'm going to talk about a little bit later as well. It's not yet live yet, but it's kind of interesting. So that trip went really well. So I had the time in San Francisco doing RSA, and then I went on to Texas and did a couple of days of training on Monday and Tuesday this week. Saw absolutely nothing of Dallas, where I was in Texas, other than an airport and a hotel. And a restaurant, same one both nights, which was good for a steak, but yeah, not so much seeing much of the sights. So anyway, that trip is done, and you know, I was honestly a little bit reticent about going back to the US because there's kind of been a bit of negative news lately about foreigners going in there, including Australians. Apparently, Australians have upset the president at some point in time, and he had to hang up on us. Allegedly, who knows, could be fake, but it was in the news. And I guess on a slightly more serious note, I was hesitant because certainly there were some very negative experiences that did happen. Obviously, people getting turned away. The story about the guy from NASA having his phone taken and password demanded and everything were, you know, they don't instill a lot of confidence before going into the country. Now, having said that, all of my experiences were pretty much just like every single other time I've been in the US. But when I say pretty much, they're exactly like that. Same deal. So I personally found no difference. Now, of course, I may not necessarily be the demographic that people are looking for either, or immigration is looking for. So I appreciate my experiences are going to be different to other people's. But I did find it interesting sort of looking at the questions and things I was getting on Twitter. Are you going to hand over the password for your phone if you get asked, etc.? And I suspect if we sort of take a step back and be kind of pragmatic about the whole thing for a moment, I suspect that experience is going to be a one in a, I don't know how many, but a very, very rare sort of number of results. So, you know, this sort of comes back to the pragmatism of security and actually looking at risks and how likely incidents are to happen as well. I think the reality of it is that nothing in that regard has probably really changed for us. And I know there are a bunch of people who have written blog posts that said this is how to secure your phone and delete all your stuff and everything. But I tell you what, if you go into the US with a deleted phone and a fairly active AppSec profile and someone does want to pull your data, that's probably not going to look real good for you either. So I don't think there's any easy answers to all this, but I also think that for the vast majority of us, and I appreciate for those of us who don't fit into that category, it could be a miserable time, but for the vast majority of us, I highly doubt there's any difference. I'd love to see stats. Someone somewhere has stats on how this thing has changed, if it's changed at all. Anyway, regardless, I had a good trip. I enjoyed being in the US. It all went well. Now I've got 3 months at home, which is great because I can actually get some stuff done. And really, that sort of the last 2 months, I mean, it's basically 2 months since Christmas. The last 2 months, I really haven't had much time because I was preparing to go to Europe and do that. And then, of course, the US trip. So now I've got heaps of time to go back and do lots of stuff that I want to do. And I'll talk about some of that in a moment. Now, one of the things I did right this week is that despite having 3 months, I am planning my next trip in Europe. So I'm going back to Europe when it's sunny there. It's still sunny here, by the way, in winter, just in case you didn't know where we are. It's always sunny. However, I'm going back to Europe in the summer because it's a nice time of year. I'm going to be going to Portugal for a workshop, Brussels for a workshop, on to Rotterdam in the Netherlands for a workshop, somewhere up further north in Norway, I don't know how to pronounce, Trondheim, for a workshop, then going to NDC, Oslo, and doing the usual thing there, then going to the Netherlands for a week with my family as well, which would be nice. They're going to come along and join me for part of the trip, and then go to the UK for a bit for some holiday time and see the castle and the tower and all that sort of stuff. So that'll be cool. And I've got a little bit of time left sort of later in June, start of July, to do some more workshops. So I put a blog post out that I'll link to in the notes about what my availability is like there. And I'm also trying to do some community events when I'm at these places. So it looks like I've got one lined up now in Belgium, and I've got one lined up up north in Norway. If you're in a place where I'm going to be and I can do an event, a community event, then fantastic. Let's do that. It's going to be a little bit hard to go anywhere else just to do a 2-hour user group though. So anyway, that time will be filled out. I've got months before I have to worry about that. So like I say, I can start to do some stuff. Now, some of the stuff I have been doing, even whilst I was away in the US, is over the last week, I did load a couple more data breaches into Have I Been Pwned. One of them is called Elance. It's a staffing platform, which has since morphed into another company, into another entity. So Elance itself doesn't exist anymore. They, however, did get owned back in 2009. 1.3 million accounts exposed. All SHA-1 hashes, no salt. So not real good news there for Elance. Another one I loaded was Funimation, which is an anime site. And Funimation had 2.5 million accounts exposed around the middle of last year. Also SHA-1, albeit salted, still not real good. Not going to work out real good for those guys if people start cracking hashes. So those two data breaches are in there. I've got a lot of others that I'm still working through. And it's this ongoing problem of, there is a great big list. I literally got a folder with all these files in there with the names of the sites. So it's sort of a matter of going through there and going, all right, what are the big ones where they're the biggest sort of bang for your buck? You know, the most people are going to know about it and find out about their exposure. Let's prioritize those and then go through all the due diligence of verifying and in some cases, writing it up as well. Which brings me to where my time has been going the last couple of days and why I haven't blogged any of the other things I would have normally done. There is a major one that I'm working on that I can't disclose just yet, simply because we're still going through the due diligence. I say we, I'm working with a reporter on this, someone I've worked with before on similar types of incident. And it's, boy, what can I say without saying too much? It's kind of an epic series of files upon classes of data exposed that you would definitely not want to have exposed. And in some cases, sort of illustrating why people are so concerned about putting some types of things on the internet. And that's about as much as I can say about the type of the site. What I'm doing now is just trying to fill a last couple of little gaps. I was hoping I could do this overnight and get the blog post out today. But this is the sort of thing where you want to sort of dot all your I's and cross all your T's. And I guess as sort of a general theme, if I'm going to write a blog post, particularly about someone having had a pretty serious compromise, I don't want to leave holes in it. And you probably would have seen, I often do some kind of long blog posts because I want to make sure the whole picture is there. And I don't want someone to come along and say, ah, what about this? Or you missed that. And then consequently cast some sort of a shadow of doubt over the entire thing, which is why I was sort of going through this process of due diligence. In this case, I actually need some help from some other people for reasons that will become apparent when I write this up. But it is a rather interesting situation. And if I'm honest, as far as sort of an investigation goes, these are interesting challenges as well. I mean, it's nice as a developer or as a security person to sort of have these cases presented where you have to try and figure out what's happened and work out how the thing actually works. And look, that's intriguing, and I'm glad it's sort of now when I'm at home and I've got time to actually do it. So I suspect I will get that out very early next week, and then when I do the weekly update next week, I can tell you exactly what I think about it. So that was that. I didn't really do much else in terms of creating new things worthy of talking about in the last week because of the flying and the workshops and everything. But there were a few little random security things, and it's just sort of things that popped into my mind when I was sitting down preparing to record this that I thought were interesting. And something that happened just before, actually, only about an hour or two ago, someone sent me an email, which was a password reset email from a store down here called The Good Guys. And The Good Guys do electronic goods. So imagine like fridges, vacuum cleaners, stuff like that. And This guy had gone to do a password reset, which of course will usually send an email to the address you're trying to do a reset to, and it did send him an email, and it said, we have created your temporary password. Okay, all right, fair enough. Your temporary password is, and I'm reading it off my screen because you can't get it wrong because it's so easy. The temporary password is thegoodguys123. All one word, all lowercase. I'm going to take a stab at it and say that's not randomized. All right, this is not like a cryptographically strong random string. So basically what's happened is they are setting the same temporary password on every single account that has a password reset. Now, just think about the implications of that for a moment. Were you to know the email address of someone's account on the site? You see where I'm going with that? So not so good. I tweeted that before and mentioned the good guys. Someone did pop up slightly after that and say, yes, I just proved this works the way we are speculating it works. Let's not get the guy into any more trouble by going into any more detail on that. But what I did like is within about half an hour of me tweeting this, and for fairness, you know, I mean, there's probably a discussion of should you tweet this or should you not. This is exactly the email which is sent to anyone who has an account. This is not a secret in terms of how the system runs. This is by design. So anyway, in fairness, within about half an hour, the good guys tweeted me back and went, well, this is crap. I mean, they're a bit more politically correct about it, but they said, this is really bad, unacceptable. We're going to get it fixed up. Thanks for bringing it to our attention. So it's just interesting how this suddenly changes the thinking, right? Because at one moment you're going, this organization is absolutely terrible in the way they're doing their security. And in the next moment, and they've also said, look, we're going to talk to the developers. So they've probably outsourced all this. In the next moment, they've owned it. They've said it's unacceptable. We're going to get on top of it. And there's something in the psyche which just turns around and goes, these are good guys. You know, like they're trying to do the right thing. So it's just interesting to think about the way organizations respond to incidents and how it can influence public sentiment. So that's those guys. Another thing in the news this week, around about a week ago, which was kind of interesting, was the situation with the Kayla doll. This is Kayla, C-A-Y-L-A. And the reason the Kayla doll was in the news is because Germany had banned it. And the reason Germany had banned it is that it is a connected doll. You know, look, as soon as we say connected and then some sort of children's toy afterwards, you're probably already starting to go, this probably isn't going to end well. Anyway, Germany's banned it because Germany in particular, I mean the EU in general, but Germany in particular, is very, very strict on privacy and surveillance and this sort of stuff. And they're going, this toy is meant to capture kids' voices and send it to the internet. We're not real cool on that. We're going to ban it and we're actually going to recommend that parents destroy it. Now, apparently the manufacturers of the doll have not made any comments on that. It's a little bit hard to sort of say, well, we'll look after your data really, really well. You know, I mean, that's about the only rebuttal, isn't it? So it's just curious, this sort of tolerance of kids' toys and the collection of their voices and other personal information. Definitely something we want to think more about. I don't know if we'll see many other countries following Germany's footsteps. We've certainly seen many other toys like that. We've seen things like Hello Barbie, late 2015. That came along. Similar ideas, like imagine taking Siri out of my iPhone and putting it in a toy. So it's listening to kids. Anyway, so that's that one. One other thing that happened, which was kind of amusing, probably regardless of your political standing, is that Trump's server got owned. His donations or his fundraising server got owned. And one of the things that was kind of amusing about this, other than the defacement of his server, was that it was sitting on a domain which was secure2.donaldjtrump.com. And it's like, well, it might say secure in the URL, but that doesn't necessarily make it so, as is evidenced just here. So someone owned that, defaced it, dropped on some nasty JavaScript as well, and that was all cleaned up a few hours later. But yeah, it just goes to show these things continue to happen, even with the president's very own server. So that was pretty much it. Not a huge amount of stuff to go through this week. Sponsor-wise, I've got a new sponsor after 5 weeks of NetSparker. This week, I've got Checkmarks on. Checkmarks is an Israeli security company who do some static analysis stuff. I've done a bunch of talks for these guys before, mostly about sort of state of the industry at some of their events. They're really good folks. I love working with Checkmarks, and I see them quite often around the world, including at RSA just the other day and in London last month. I did a talk for them. So they do really cool static analysis stuff. Check out the link in the sponsor bar on my website and have a look at the things that they do. So that's going to be it for this week. Next week, I suspect, will be a very big update because I want to spend a bunch of time talking about this blog post, which I'm now going to go and try and finish. Thanks very much for watching. See you next week.